This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Thompson on the logo, guarded by Moody. Thompson forced left, passes to the corner. Smith Jr. wide open. Three balls up and good. And the route is on in Houston.
And when you go to a 1-3-1 zone, which that was, those are the areas you got to protect the corners.
Dub Nation, it's Steve Kerr. You're listening to Willard and Dibbs on 95.7 The Game.
Steve Kerr in 2 hours. I love that Tommy was still trying to break it down, give a little analysis. Here's my analysis. This game's over.
Yeah.
Let's eat.
Yeah, exactly.
And we did.
Right.
Yeah.
And it, I mean, we ate, and then it's one of those where I got to turn this thing off. And then you don't because it's a playoff game. But if that's in, you know, if that's, I don't know, Orlando in January, we can't get up for Orlando in January. If that's Orlando in January, that thing gets turned off. You're down 30 in the third. It's like, all right,
totally.
What are we doing?
Yeah, you have some of those. It's super disappointing when it's a playoff game. I actually, and I know everyone right now, I'm one of the people at our station here, the people are going, you're disrespecting the Rockets. You want to know what I think is actually disrespectful to the Rockets? When people go, oh, the Warriors didn't get up for this one. That's disrespectful to the Rockets. You're acting like the whole game is just controlled by Steph Curry and Jimmy Butler's emotions. The Rockets played awesome.
Yeah.
They beat your ass. Eat it.
Oh, whoa.
No, take it.
Yep.
Take it. Sorry if you're on your way home from school. They beat their butts.
They really handed it to them, Mark.
Their tushies
okay.
were red.
Yeah.
Red tushies.
Rashy rash is what we call it in our house.
They beat their butts.
What is happening?
What do you mean?
We're talking about...
They kicked their you-know-what.
That's right.
Yeah.
They turned the Warriors over their knee and gave them a thorough spanking.
They gave it to them.
They shot 69% from the floor in the first half.
Just like
25 of 36. And oh, by the way, maybe there's a night where the Warriors are equally hot. And boy, we've got ourselves a real wild hootenanny. The Warriors had 10 turnovers in the first half, shot 35.6%, and they were awful. And then the Rockets were equally that good. So the Rockets were, I don't know, a 10 out of 10 in the first half, and the Warriors were probably a 2.
I think Steve Kerr at one point talked about the Rockets' efficiency and said, you're not going to win that game. You're just not going to win that game. Give the Rockets credit. They were absolutely head and shoulders above the Warriors on this night. And my personal take, that's got absolutely nothing to do with tomorrow night.
Of course.
At all.
And that's why I go back to 2022, where it happened in Memphis in the exact same scenario, where you were up 3-1, you travel to Memphis to close, you lose by 39, and it's like, oh, boy, Warriors are in trouble. And then you come home and you win by 14.
Yeah.
And you move on.
It's close, though. It was a scary game.
Yeah.
They're up by 1 to start the fourth quarter.
Against Memphis.
Yes. Yeah. It was a close game. Scary. And I expect tomorrow night to have some scary. There'll be some scary in there.
Yep.
No doubt. We're coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios, Laughing Monk Righteously Brewed in San Francisco. So thrilled to have Laughing Monk along for the ride. They threw a great watch party last night in Sunnyvale. I hope a lot of you got to go down there and get your cheap beers, your $5 beers. And I hope you got there early. In fact, I would imagine $5 beers were probably the highlight of the night.
If seriously.
You went to a Warrior watch party last night.
Give me about 10 of those babies by the halftime.
Exactly.
You know? Great. Let's drink.
Let's drink. Yeah. 888-957-9570. We're taking your calls until Steve Kerr joins us in 2 hours. Tony in Oakland. Hi, Tony. Thanks for calling.
Hey, what's up, fellas? How we doing?
Yo.
All right. So I don't think it was a big deal that we lost yesterday, and I actually don't mind the altercation sensation. so actually, what I have a problem with, thank you. What I have a problem with is Pat Spencer. Man, you know what you do? You keep your composure. You rally up the second unit, and you tell them, you know what, guys? Let's win this. Why not, man? We a couple more shots go in, we can bring it down to single digits, and now we have their first unit on their heels. They don't know what's going on. Now imagine how much national coverage that would have got if our second unit wins us the series with the game that we thought we were going to lose. I mean, that would have been insane. People would have been talking about that. Like, they probably would be – the national coverage would probably be, let's fire the coach of the Rockets because the second unit of the Warriors just beat them. All right, guys, have a good one.
All right, thanks, Tony. I just don't think that was actually ever really in danger of happening. I'm not going to come after Pat Spencer for anything. It's Pat Spencer. Pat Spencer has shown that when he gets into basketball games, he's not scared. He's a great athlete. He goes after things. Is he refined as a basketball player? No. Does he do some good things out there? Absolutely. And he committed a foul, and then they got into one. And he got thrown out of the basketball game. I know that there was like a little glimmer of hope suddenly there in the final 5 minutes where it looked like the Warriors were about to cut it to single digits. But let's be real. This thing was never – I did not feel like it was ever really in doubt. They needed to go on one more 6-0 run, and then we might have had a basketball game and a conversation.
Might have, and I do think that possession that ultimately resulted in him throwing the headbutt and getting ejected, that was the possession, because if you score there, it's down to 11, and there's some momentum.
And a three-pointer, and we've got action.
Exactly.
Yes.
And the fact that you had four shots at the hoop on that possession, and you couldn't get any of them to go, including, Knox or Key?
No, it was
missed
Key.
The layup.
Yeah, it was Braxton Key.
He smoked the layup.
Yeah.
And it's like, if just one of those could have gone now, not that it's nervous time for Houston, but you're going to have to exert. You're going to have to continue to exert here down the stretch.
That's a sphincter situation.
And I wonder, and we'll ask Steve Kerr today at 5 o'clock about, was there a point, or would there be a point where you look at it and you say, all right, Draymond, Jimmy, and Steph, they got it down to 7 with 3 minutes to go. Get back in there?
We'll go into depth with him on it. He did get asked a similar question last night.
Can't do that. When you make a move like that and then, you know, the starters are on the bench, you can't go back to them. It's just not the right thing to do.
And I wonder, like, to me, there's a follow-up there of, like, why? Why is it not the right thing to do? I wonder if what he's saying is it's not physically safe to go sit down for 45 minutes and then get him back up and put him in the game. Are you putting, like, muscles in doubt? Or is there, I don't know, is there something else in play there with regard to the idea that, hey, the bench guys are the ones that brought him back, so they deserve to stay out there? I don't know. We'll explore that a little further.
And it's a little different for Houston because with 8 minutes to go, they pulled all those guys, or actually earlier than that, they pulled a lot of their starters,
yep.
But A, they're all a lot younger. Their whole team is 22, as you said, and B, they didn't sit out nearly as long as the Warriors starters did.
Correct, yeah. How about Rock Ridge Baller in the town? What's up, Baller? What are you doing?
What is up, my Bay Area brothers? How are you?
We're good, man. We're rolling. We're fine.
God, what a day. I feel like you guys sitting there yucking it up remind me and my homies back in high school sitting on the back deck drinking Mickey's grenades and debating whether we got in a bar fight. Who do we want to back us up, Tom Rathman or Sarunas Marcellonis?
Oh,
I want you to answer that question before I give you my point on Sengun.
It's definitely Tom Rathman for me.
Oh, it's Šarūnas for me.
Oh, really?
That Eastern European toughness, and he quietly was a little bit like muscly, super muscly.
No, he was thick, but you just got through ripping Europeans about 15 minutes ago saying they're soft.
This is a deep, deep Eastern European from the 80s, a guy who had to suffer through the Iron Curtain. I'm not talking about, you know, Rudy Gilbert from Paris, or the goon who comes in at 22 and can't even like stand up to a nosy nuzzle.
I do love
about Šarūnas.
I love that the last name is Goon for Alperen Sengun. I do like that. But anyway, I'm going to take the beef stick in the Niner backfield, Tom Rathman, baller.
I think that is a smart pick, but it's not the sneaky pick. He would not see Šarūnas coming. He thinks it's going to be a Euro step 1, 2, 3. Šarūnas went to the hole like Tom Rathman. He comes hard.
No doubt. Look, I don't think either one of them are bad picks. This is some badass dudes.
Right, so here's my chime in on your Sengun Pat Spencer debate. Yep. I have to agree with both of you, actually. Number one, Sengun should be absolutely ashamed. What a ridiculous mistake to even let that notion go through his head. Has he even watched lacrosse? Number one, he would not stand 3 minutes in a cage with Pat Spencer. He got off so lucky. It looked like TJD was coming in to protect Pat Spencer. No. He came in and saved Sengunni from getting the real headbutt. I agree with Dibs here. He got the nosy nuzzle. He barely came away with a little rashy rash. He could have lost a tooth going like tooth to head with Big Daddy Pat. So I think you guys are both right. And then, you know, Dibs, I really agree. Let's put some respect on my guy Pat. He is a baller. He is your nightmare at the YMCA, no matter how big you are, how fast you are. He's got post-camp game. He can shoot the three. You do not see him coming. White boy can jump, okay? It was no joke when him and Moses were bringing us back and Udoka had to straight bring the starters back in. Let's talk best-case scenario, okay? Because, look, we get game six. This is the time of year when I really start to cry a little bit on the inside because the Warriors, the whole NBA season is almost over. We get another game, fellas. Not only that, Joe Lacob gets another, I don't know, what's the math? He gets another $15 million in the kitty to go sign the next great player, right? Every game is worth it to have another game at Chase.
I mean, I guess. Baller, baller, we got to run. Thank you very, very much.
I don't know if it's quite 15, but probably around 5.
One thing I've spent zero time worrying about in my life is Joe Lacob's money. But if you want to look at it that way, you can. I absolutely would have taken a victory last night if it was there for him. It wasn't.
Yep.
And so that's why it's kind of easier to take. Dude, you got your butts kicked. Come on back home. See if you can win tomorrow night. I think they probably will. So, yeah, there's no stress
yet. Tomorrow will be stressful. And remember, folks, it's a 6 o'clock tip. If you're going there, get there early. If you're listening to the radio, just know that it starts at 6.
I love that you brought that up, and I actually want to say something real quick about it that's more than what we tend to do when we're letting you know about an earlier start, and we go, get there early. That's true, but get there early is not enough. The performance that you all had in game 4 needs to at minimum be replicated. So that doesn't mean get there early. That means be in your seat.
Yeah. And be hammered.
And be drunk.
Thank you.
Be there and be drunk. That's the t-shirt that I want.
Yeah.
On the seat. And wear your t-shirt. Be there in your seat. For opening tip, for the introductions, be loud, be activated, be all of those things before 6 o'clock. That is your assignment. And I think you will do a good job of it. And I will do a good job of it. We will do a good job of it, too. That's what we're going to do. We're sponsored by Chilton Auto Body. A lot more if you want to weigh in. We're coming to your phone calls. 888-957-9570. Steve, Gary, E. Peter, Stay where you are. Here we come on Willard and Dibs.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Sometimes historic events suck. But what shouldn't suck is learning about history. I do that through storytelling. History That Doesn't Suck is a chart-topping history-telling podcast chronicling the epic story of America decade by decade. Right now, I'm digging into the history of incredible infrastructure projects of the 1930s, including the Hoover Dam, the Empire State Building, the Golden Gate Bridge, and more. The promise is in the title, History That Doesn't Suck. Available on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Rockets get downhill. That's when their athleticism really shines. Here's Easton driving it over Looney. Scoop up and good. It's a 30-point Houston lead.
And that's exactly it in the last two possessions. Downhill.
Dub Nation, it's Steve Kerr. You're listening to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Okay, Coach. You're going to be here in about an hour and 40 minutes. Mm. And we'll have an extended conversation with one Steve Kerr after I don't want to call it a tough loss. It wasn't a tough loss. It was just a complete beatdown. He also weighed in, and I do want to talk to him about this, and I'd love to get into it with you a little bit later as well. We got a lot of people who want to weigh in on what we're talking about, but this whole targeting Steph Curry's thumb thing, what do we all see? What do we think is above board? What's not? Et cetera, et cetera. So 888-957-9570. Let's keep going with you, though. How about E in San Jose? Hi, E. What's up?
How you doing, gentlemen? Good afternoon. I called one of the other shows, I think on Monday or something, said something like, if Draymond keeps his head, the Warriors will be all right, and he kind of has. But I've been calling for the rookies to be put into a game, and I'm glad it was a blowout because they were able to do it, and somebody finally stood up to somebody. I was hoping it was Dylan Brooks. We call him Baby Braids around my house. But what I've wanted since game one was for somebody to get in the face. And literally the last guy I would have picked was Pat Spencer. He's the 14th guy on the bench, and he headbutted a 7-footer. And that ref held back Goon pretty easily. He wanted no part of TJD. So I've been calling for this from the beginning, and it finally happened, and I think it does nothing but galvanize the team. I'm sure they were hooting and hollering after getting beat. They went home on that plane like they won the game, and I'll take your answer off air.
That's a good update.
There it is. That's for me, ladies and gentlemen. Yep. He'd been around for a minute, I can tell.
That's pretty good.
Yep.
It's a nice uptick coming through. Then I kind of agree with the notion of, okay, you lose the game and nobody likes losing, but you get on the plane and, you know, maybe Pat Spencer gets on and whoever's on the plane, they, you know, start chanting him and, oh, here he is. He's the thug. He's the champion of the world.
Let me say this. I get what you're saying, because to me, game six is such a fascinating game in any series, not just tomorrow night, in any series, because what will we say about a 5-game series? Oh, short series. What will we say about game six series? Oh, long series. Literally, one game determines whether it's a, quote, short series or a long series. Wolves and Lakers, short series. They were all the exact same until last night. Now suddenly this is a long series, and for me, Game 6 brings with it a certain vibe. The Knicks and Pistons will play Game 6 here in about an hour.
Mm.
They officially despise one another.
Well, you get to that point in all these series, and that's going to be natural.
That's the deal. That's what I'm saying. I don't think the Lakers and Wolves ever really got there. It's not competitive enough. Were they physical? Sure. But, dude, Lakers, you got schooled. You got wrecked. You got beat in 5 games. When it gets to game six, it arrives at a spot where I borrow a phrase that my mom used to use all the time that I never used to enjoy, but it usually meant that it was time to stop talking. And what she would say was, Mark, I have had it up to here. Now,
and for those of you not watching on YouTube, he's putting his hand above his eyebrows.
Yeah, here is right about at the temple.
Yeah.
I have had it. I have had it up to here. Okay.
It's a 4. Never okay. talked to the lady, but I know you nailed it.
It meant, shut up.
Yeah.
Better go to your room. Better go get some air. Go. The Warriors and Rockets have had it up to here with each other. And so it's actually why I love the Warriors tomorrow night. It's actually why I didn't get too triggered by the final score last night. We have arrived at, I've had it up to here. We got Şengün has officially become a hated person in Warrior fan circles. The Steph Curry thumb injury has now become center stage national info. Isn't it interesting? That thumb's been injured the whole time. The whole time.
Yeah, yeah.
Now it's a story. Now it's a story. That, to me, is brilliantly played by the Warriors.
Oh, you save it for when you need it. Well, you don't burn that card in game one. Well, you wait until now where you're coming home for pivotal game six, yeah. And it's been a thing, and he's had the rap on it, but now it's a thing because you needed to play that card.
Well, it's interesting because they got led to making it a thing. Like, they didn't bring it up, but reporters suddenly started bringing it up. Do you think that are they purposefully going after his thumb? Draymond's like, it's obvious.
Yeah, it's obvious.
It's completely obvious. Well, it's been obvious, right? Like, it's not the first game where this came up.
You and I talked about it on Monday.
Exactly.
And, you know, we talked about what the strategy was, and I called it brilliant. I'm not happy that they're doing it. I'm not happy that he's hurt. But if you're the Rockets and you want to limit the best player maybe on the planet and he's got a bum thumb, that's what you do. You try to get the thumb and you try to do what you can to try to win the game. That's just pro sports.
You and I vehemently disagree on that.
Yep.
I actually have some quotes from Jalen Rose. We can get into this in a little bit. From Jalen Rose, who purposefully hurt Kobe Bryant years ago in the finals, admitted it later. But to me, and I'll just leave this here, and then we can get back to these calls. If you do that, and you call it brilliant, and you say that's pro sports, I don't buy that, actually, because if you do that, if you go after an injury purposefully, you know, not like Steiny said, oh, we're going to target that guy because he's a weak point. No. If you're targeting the body part, you are literally trying to knock somebody out of the game by going after their injury. You are fully admitting that you can't beat that person straight up. You're admitting that you're a worse player. You're admitting that you're a worse team. And so I do not believe that all teams in pro sports would do this.
No, all teams would not.
They would not. If Dylan Brooks had an injured ankle, as he threw out yesterday, I don't think the Warriors would go after his ankle in a desperate attempt to get him off of the floor and out of the series.
And he's not Steph Curry.
Exactly.
So if you're going up against Steph Curry, who is the greatest Warrior in history, and he's one of the best players in the league right now, and he's giving you the business, well then, if you realize that you can't stop him, and maybe that's part of the admission, then the only way to maybe contain him is by clutching him, holding him, grabbing him, and going for the thumb.
I think that's out of line. And again, I think it's an admission of weakness. But we can get into that in a little bit. I think actually it's part of what Peter, who's on 101, wants to talk about. Hi, Peter. Thanks for calling.
Hey, how are you guys? I enjoy you all the time. You keep me company. I'm always on the road.
Thank you, Peter.
But you bet. But as far as the whole targeting thing, you kind of took the words out of my mouth. To borrow from another league, the NFL, they actually specifically have a targeting rule. And I think this is a pretty easy fix from the rules. You have like a basketball play and you have a targeting play. And, you know, there's those in-between things that are kind of hard to tell, but it's almost like the same thing of flopping that they kind of slacked up on after they put that rule in. But, you know, when it's obvious, it's obvious, and they watch the monitor. You just like when they call a timeout, hey, that was not a basketball play. It wasn't just inadvertent hands part of the ball thing. They were doing it on purpose. They look at the play. Does it constitute targeting? And if it does, foul and free shots and all that. So that's and then I just have one little PS to that, which has nothing to do with this, just pet peeve, just for fun throwing this in. The Beard Harden made this whole Euro step, jumping up in the air, landing, taking another step. It's up and down, traveling, whatever you call it. And how many more steps are we going to have in the league before it's like sprinting the whole court before it's not traveling anymore? But that's what I have to say. Forget the PS, but the main thing I talked about, I'll listen to your comment.
Yeah, Peter, thanks very much. Well, first of all, the comparison to, as he called it, targeting in football is not about targeting a specific injury. It's about targeting the head, always. Targeting is about the head.
Right, right.
So, I don't know if there's an immediate, you know, spillover to the same kind of thing we're talking about with Steph Curry. I'll meet you halfway. I'm not saying that what you're saying doesn't happen.
Right.
It absolutely does. I don't believe that it should, number one. But number two, I mean, none of us are going to come out here and say that and stop it. But I do think it's a weakness. I think it's an admission that you're not good enough to beat somebody straight up. And,
right.
And by the way,
I'll allow that to be the case.
And if you're a two seed, that's weak.
Well,
that's weak.
I won't dwell on the seeds because the difference between a 2 and a 7 is more narrow than ever before in the Western Conference in the history.
If you're a good team, why don't you think you can just beat the Warriors?
Because you're not as good as the Warriors and you're not as skilled as the Warriors. And
that's our opinion, though. I don't think that's theirs.
Whatever their opinion is, you're down 3-2, and last night you were down 3-1. So the results so far are indicative of the fact that they've beaten you 3 of the 4.
Yep.
They beat you 3 of the 5 in the regular year. So you've played them, what would that be, 9 times going into last night, and the Warriors are 6-3. So the proof is in the pudding. And the head coach, Ime Udoka, is a very tough customer. He was as a player, and this is the way he approaches it. And the whole idea of targeting and cheap or not cheap, the rules are pretty clear, but the interpretation is a little vague, because if the contact to the shooter's hand is incidental after the release, it's not a foul. And if it is excessive or hostile, or if it interferes with the follow through, then it is a foul. So the referees have to, in real time, determine, okay, did he finish his follow through? And even if he finishes the follow-through, if Dylan Brooks then comes in with a karate chop and hits the hand and it's deemed excessive,
that's not incidental,
or hostile, then it's a foul. But it's the gray area is pretty broad, and the referee has to interpret the act.
I think I should play this for everybody right now.
You don't think about it, and if it's a foul, they should call it. That's it.
And by the way, he said that twice. Like, I think there's a very, very important part of this. And actually, Grandy and Lucas, take your time, but is there a way to go back and recut Steph Curry saying, if it's a foul, it's a foul? Because
he said it twice.
He said it twice. And there's a reason he said it twice that I think is incredibly important. This was his response to the question.
You don't think about it. If it's a foul, they should call it. That's it.
And then he waits 2, 3, 4 and leans back in and goes, if it's a foul, they should call it.
Yeah.
The second part of it is clearly directed straight at the league and straight at the officials. The first part is answering the question in the room. The second part was directed at the officials. And that's the kind of subtle stuff that I think really plays in a playoff series, because you better believe when the face of the league does something like that, it lands. It lands, they listen, and I think it's going to be in the room tomorrow night.
Agreed, and I think a lot of it is determined by who the crew is, but, you know, the seed has been planted, and what did we talk about before? Well, you know, they're holding Steph, and they're restricting the freedom of movement, and he didn't necessarily complain about it, but the coach had mentioned it, and we all talked about it, and then you get back to the game 3, I think, and there was a couple of quick ones where he was being held off the ball, and now we're going to call it because attention was drawn to it, and I do think this one is a point of emphasis that they have to look at, not only because it's Steph, but because it's a rule, and if it's a foul, then call it, and he's right.
Yeah, and it's not incidental. Like, that's what I think we've sort of all arrived at. It's not incidental. Like,
I'm sure sometimes it is.
I mean, again, the point of contention is this. The league has stated at the start of this year, or maybe it was last year, that in the act of shooting an outside shot, if the ball has been released and you're trying to challenge that shot and your hands kind of connect on the follow-through after the ball's been released, that's not a foul. But as Steve Kerr detailed last night, what that has led to is players being smart and going, oh, so I can whack the hand after the ball leaves. Well, no, That's technically outside the rules because it's not incidental, it's purposeful. But that's very, very difficult to notice at full speed and within the game. So players are smart and they take advantage of a rule and move it a little bit further down the road. Steve says they're going to probably look at it and change it next year, but that doesn't do anything for anybody right now. What I think is going to happen tomorrow night is the officials are clearly going to have eyes now on whether or not this is truly incidental contact after the release, or do they feel like teams are going after teams. The Rockets are going after Steph's hand after the release of the shot, which everybody with the Warriors believes they clearly are. And if that's the case, I think you're going to get some calls on that tomorrow night. And by the way, if you do, holy hell, that's 3 points.
Pretty much.
Because those are going to be threes.
You know, odds are it's going to be 2.8 out of three. He makes 90% or so. And I don't think that they're going to change the rule. I was texting with a couple of officials, friends of mine, and the league did some work to scale this back because too much of the three-point shooting was any contact before they changed the rule. It was always a foul. To your point, I'm looking at all of the shots that Steph Curry took last night, and his second three of the game, Warriors are down 13-8. He pump fakes Şengün. He gets an open three. Guess who's coming to close out? Your favorite and mine, Dylan Brooks. The shot's away, and Brooks basically just
whack. Yeah.
No foul. And it was clearly after the release, and it was not, in my opinion, incidental. And these are the ones you look at and you go,
of course it's not.
I mean, incidental is when I challenge you and our hands meet and
on the follow through.
Right,
yes.
Even after the follow through. If I close out late and I'm up trying to block it and our hands meet with a high five, that's incidental. This man comes out and just...
he's swinging.
Yeah, it's a full-on clatter into the wrist and into the hand.
Dylan was asked about it. Here's his answer.
No, I've been playing the game. Shoot. If you're going to come play the game injured or whenever you got, it's all about the game. You know, if I had an injured ankle, I would attack that ankle every single time.
Okay. This is a fascinating answer because what Dylan Brooks, to me, just said... now, Steiny very much disagreed. But again, I want to play this for you again. Dylan is asked, are you purposefully going after Steph's thumb? Listen to the answer.
No, I've been playing the game. Shoot. If you're going to come play the game injured or whenever you got, it's all about the game. You know, if I had an injured ankle, I would attack that ankle every single time.
Okay, let me answer it a different way. Yes! Yes! He flat out looked into the media's faces and said, yes, I'm going after his thumb on purpose. I to be honest with you, I can't believe this isn't a larger story than it is today. That is dirty. It is a complete admission that you don't think you can win, that you don't think you're good enough to play the Warriors straight up and come out victorious. This is not Dylan Brooks saying, well, we see that there's kind of a weak point, so we want to attack a weak point. No, that's not what he said. What he said was, Steph's hurt, and I'm trying to make him more hurt. That's not basketball. That's dirty. That's an open, public, microphoned admission by Dylan Brooks that he's dirty. And I find that to be a massive turnoff, and I find that to be something that I hope the league is listening to today, and you better have six eyes on that thing tomorrow night. That's all.
Yeah, I don't see it quite the same way, and I'm looking at the two contests that Brooks had on Steph. The first one I mentioned where looks to me that he comes in very late, and it was not a shot contest, and he's going after the thumb. And then the second one I'm seeing, and the game's a 30-point game, he actually does contest, and he hits Steph after the shot, and this one seems to me to be incidental. So it's not like every time Steph has the ball that Brooks is out there trying to target the thumb.
I didn't say every time, but when you say you see it differently, I'm talking about his quote. Don't look at the actions.
Yeah.
Are you disagreeing that Dylan Brooks right there is saying, yes, I am absolutely going after his thumb?
Yeah, I don't
think
that.
And you're okay with that?
I mean, I'm not okay with it because I'm a Warrior fan, but it doesn't necessarily mean that it's dirty.
What if you like? It doesn't.
If he's dribbling the basketball and he's got the ball in his hand and you go after the ball, which happens to be connected to his thumb, that doesn't become a dirty play.
No, that's not what he's saying.
And I'm looking at this three,
not going after the ball,
where he goes up to contest a shot, and yeah, he's going to be aggressive, knowing that Steph's got a bad thumb. That to me is just. Grown up pro sports.
I don't think you're accurately portraying what's happening, nor is that accurately portraying what he even just said.
When a guy's hurt, basically, you go after the injury. That's right.
Yeah.
That's what you do.
Bounty.
It's not a bounty.
Yes, it is.
A bounty is when you get paid.
That's a bounty.
A bounty is when you get paid
bounty.
For invoking an injury or inflicting an injury on another person.
Did he get a check last night?
I don't think that Udoka, unless I'm being blind to a handshake agreement, like, I'll give you $100,000 extra if you get Steph Curry
not
out
extra,
of the game.
But
that's what the bounty
this
was.
This has already happened with the New Orleans Saints.
Right, if this is not that.
They were not
that
given
was actual,
extra money.
They were called bonuses.
It was called Bounty Gate, and you were told, go knock this person out. And by the way, what's different about that is that wasn't even targeting an already existing injury. That was just asking people to go attempt
Absolutely.
To injure people.
And they've
Both
been doing that in football for decades.
Not at that level. No, they haven't.
Absolutely.
No.
Bill Romanowski used to come on our show and talk about you got to take a 15.
And you just brought up literally the craziest human being in the history of sports.
But he's not a lone actor in pro football.
He is the extreme. There's no question. He is all the way at the end of one spectrum.
You could still look at a football game and know that somebody's got an injury, and you could see opponents going after that injury.
Well,
it happens.
I'm not saying it doesn't happen.
Right.
It shouldn't. And if you're aware of it, league, you absolutely need to do something about it. And I could give you 1,000 examples, especially in the NFL, of where the league has started to come after this.
Well, all they can do is try to officiate the actions as they happen on the floor.
Are you telling me that we can't see this with our own eyes? It's incredibly evident.
Well, you
it's
can
incredible.
See it.
You just said it with looking at the replay.
Right. One of the three-pointers that he took where Brooks was guarding him, it looked to me like he committed a foul.
And
it looked to me like he was overly aggressive and, you know, violence probably too strong of a word.
Yeah.
And whether or not he did that to try to hurt the thumb or not, I don't have his intent. But just hearing his soundbite, he knows that Steph is hurt.
Yeah,
and that's
only last night that you're watching.
Right.
This has been happening the whole week and a half.
Exactly. So they've made it known, and you may not like it. It may be distasteful, and
distasteful.
It's the reality of pro sports.
Not always.
Give
me an example.
It's a reality of pro sports.
Give me an it is.
Right.
And it needs to be legislated out, and if a player is absolutely openly admitting it in open court, that's also another level of this that's totally out of line. Like, I think it's crazy. A coach gets fined because he comes out after the game and goes, I didn't like the officiating. I didn't like that call. We fine that guy, but we're not going to fine this guy who literally just said in front of a microphone, yeah, I'd like to knock Steph Curry out of this series. I would like the face.
That's not
what
he said.
I would like. Yes, it is.
He said, I'd like to knock him out of the series.
No question. He's got an injured thumb. You brought your injury onto the court. I'm going to try to make it worse and get you off of the court. The face of the league. You can't have that. You can't have that. I'm meeting you halfway that I know that there are wackadoodle brains who do this.
Right. This is the playoffs.
It is not. You're making it sound like it's everyone, and it's not. It's not. This is very rare that you would have a player. I mean, Jalen Rose has literally had to do documentaries because he did this in the NBA Finals. This is not something that happens every game at all and to every player. He has talked at length about what he tried to do to Kobe Bryant.
Right.
And admitted it. And admitted that it's wrong. And admitted that he only did it because he knew he couldn't win.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know how.
It just happens.
I don't know.
I mean,
no, it doesn't just happen.
It happens more
than
you think.
It's premeditated.
Right. And it's not okay. You're right. It's not okay. But
it's not okay.
You know what? Tomorrow night, when Steph Curry goes to shoot a shot and Dylan Brooks is on him, he's going to try to hit the thumb.
Well, then he should actually be teed up.
Right. It's not how it works.
It is how it works.
I mean, it might be an incidental contact.
Why is that not a flagrant?
He's not supposed to challenge a Steph Curry shot because he can't possibly contact Steph Curry's thumb.
You can challenge a shot. You cannot purposefully go after any part of his body.
Well, that's on the referees to make that determination.
So do it, refs.
Right.
I know you love them,
right.
But do it. Do it. Do it. It's that easy.
You don't think about it. If it's a foul, they should call it. That's it. If it's a foul, they should call it.
If it's a foul, they should call it.
Right.
Okay, so do your job.
And they don't call every foul that occurs. Wow. So
they haven't called any of these yet.
Yeah.
Not any of them. We're brought to you by Fremont Bank, here for you, here for good. Let's get to your calls. A lot of people want to weigh in. Steve Kerr, a little over an hour on Willard and Dibs.
Spencer, beautiful bounce pass to Knox. Back to Moody, trailing right. Three ball, good. And it's got to feel good for Moses Moody. That's his first three of the night. But he's got 13 points.
Udoka's looking down at his starters going, okay. Yeah. Another bucket.
Yeah.
Another bucket. He might put you guys back in.
9-10 to go.
Dub Nation is Moses Moody. Catch my head coach, Steve Kerr, with Willard and Dibs each and every week right here on 95.7 The Game.
Thank you, Moses. Hopefully that garbage time led to him finding his shot.
Yeah.
Maybe that'll help. I wonder if he's back in the starting lineup tomorrow night.
I wonder, and I also wonder about the relative health of Jonathan Kuminga. First time he got mentioned in this show because he was ill.
He was sick, yeah.
Right, so I just wonder if he's going to be well enough to maybe be a part of a plan tomorrow. I'm not going to make this about playing time or anything, but
I don't know why he would.
Well, you might need him. I mean, if he's healthy enough,
if something goes wrong or somebody gets hurt.
But that's my only question. Yeah, is he going to be well enough to at least be a guy who you might tap into if something goes awry?
888-957-9570. A lot of you want to weigh in. I want to read this to you and do whatever you want with it. But here's Jalen Rose talking about the 2000 NBA Finals in Game 1 where he purposefully went underneath Kobe Bryant's landing area and injured his ankle and purposely tried to knock him out of the series to give the Indiana Pacers a chance. Quote, one of the things that happened in my career, I don't think it's cute, or am I proud of it? I came from an era where you did whatever it takes to win. We also realized very quickly we couldn't guard him. This dude is something different. So I acted like I was contesting the jump shot and purposely made him come down on my foot. In my mind, I didn't want him to break his ankle, but I wouldn't mind if he missed the next few games because we would have a better chance to win. In true Kobe fashion, the dude only missed one game.
Mm.
Lakers win the series, and Jalen Rose says, again, I don't think it's cute, not proud of it. It was from a different era. We realized we couldn't guard him. To me, that's what these things all say from Dylan Brooks. That's what, when you ask him, are you purposely going after Steph's thumb? And he says this.
No, I've been playing the game. Shoot. If you're going to come play the game injured or whenever you got, it's all about the game. You know, if I had an injured ankle, I would attack that ankle every single time.
So that's my take. You should not think that that's cute. You should not be proud of it. You're not from a different era. You're from this one. You are admitting that you are not good enough to win on your own accord, and the officials need to be much more aware of this, especially now that he's openly admitted it in front of a microphone.
Well, and I don't hear anything in there of him saying that I'll do anything that I possibly can that's dirty to try to target the thumb. He's just saying that you come into a series hurt, then we're going to go at you, and he's going to go out the thumb, and he's going to do it as much close to within the lines as he can. It's not like he's...
I think that is dirty. That is dirty.
It's physical basketball. I don't think it's dirty.
Physical basketball is not picking out one certain body part. Physical basketball is just playing physical ball.
What about when you intentionally land underneath a guy and he already has a bad ankle.
Dirty.
And you're down 21 and you close out Zaza did that to Kawhi.
Who has ever argued that?
I'm just saying that these things happen. Yeah, like it's not... It's not
they
like
happen.
This is not a lone actor. You make it sound like that Dylan is this horrendously dirty person.
He is.
Well, that's your opinion.
And yes, it is my opinion.
And I'm not seeing him like run over and grab his thumb and like during a stoppage of play.
What's wild to me is that when you say these things happen, it's as if it just, well, then that excuses all of it. Like the guy literally just said, I will go purposely after the thumb. That's the definition of dirty. It's the definition of dirty.
It's not the definition of dirty.
It's not physical basketball.
If he's dribbling the ball and you go in and you try to steal it,
that's
and you happen to
happening.
Hit his thumb.
That's not what's happening. He's going after an injury. Not the ball. Not physical ball. I'm trying to make your injury worse. That's not basketball.
Well, it's basketball if it happens in the course of a play.
But it's
and it's
no,
like if you go to,
not if you're targeting
if you're going,
it.
Absolutely.
No.
I mean, you've got a guy who's hurt and
trying to play the game, not hurt the thumb.
Right. You're trying to play the game, yeah. And he's playing the game hard. And
now,
when Steph Curry is going to shoot a three and you're going to contest it, you're going to contest it hard. And you're going to go after the thumb. If he's got a bad thumb, you're going to contest it in that way. It's the playoffs. Well,
yeah, if you're dirty.
This is not,
again, quote,
this is not a preseason game.
I don't think it's cute. And I'm not
That's
proud
Jalen
of it.
Rose.
Yes.
That's not Dylan Brooks.
Yes.
So.
No, it's not. And Jalen was from an era where this was much more accepted than it is now.
Well, and that's what he says about his, quote, era. And if you want to go back to other eras, you had a lot of physical play. And this would be This would be par for the course. And just because it's 2025 now, Dylan Brooks is not supposed to be a certain way because you decide that?
No, the league has.
The league hasn't decided it.
Because
he's not getting fouls called and he's not being suspended. Nothing's happening to Dylan Brooks. So the league hasn't decided anything.
The league has made tons of rule changes over the last 30 years to get this crap out of the game.
Well, in fact,
the rule change that
they made allows contact to the shooter's hand. So the rule that they changed actually made this play much more allowable.
They've made so many rule changes over the last 30 years.
Of course they have.
Hand-checking and beyond, they have tried to get this ugly 81-80 basketball from the Detroit Pistons out of the game. They've worked their butts off to get this out of the game. So, it's not nostalgic to me. I don't care how many of you want to call me soft. Like, this is the same stuff that we talk about in so many sports. They won't let you breathe on the quarterback. They won't let you run over a catcher. They won't let you do this stuff anymore. Because knocking the greats out of the game on purpose is not cool. No matter how rough and tough y'all think it makes someone, it's not cool. Here's what Steve Kerr had to say about it.
You know, the rule, the NBA, is once the shot has been released, you're allowed to hit the guy's arm. And so what's happened in the league this year is players always are... They're going to outsmart, the rules. They know what they're doing. So players all over the league are just taking shots at guys' shooting hands after release because they know it's not going to be a foul. And I'm very confident that next year the league will fix it because it's only a matter of time before somebody, breaks a thumb or breaks a hand or whatever. But these are the rules. I do believe they're allowed to call a flagrant if they want. The refs could call a flagrant if the guy winds up and takes a shot. But no, it's been happening across the league all year long. It's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. But we have to take it through the league process to get that changed, and that'll probably happen this summer, I would guess.
What a perfect way to get the message out without getting fined. I mean, a brilliant answer to bring attention to it, to bring the word flagrant up. To call it the dumbest thing you've ever heard, but do it in a way where you're kind of 6 feet away from the actual topic that's being asked, because he was asked if he thought players were targeting the thumb. It's typical Steve Kerr.
Yeah.
Very, very well played.
He answers it in the correct fashion, which is, he thinks the league will take a look at it and change the rule. I'm not sure if they will, but the one thing that he's trying to get across is that they should be enforcing the current rule, which is if it's excessive or hostile, then it's a foul. And maybe it could be a flagrant if it's determined to be that excessive and that hostile. If it's unnecessary in nature, then yeah, you could call that. But the seed's been planted for the refs, whoever the crew is for tomorrow, to certainly watch this. And we're already watching the off-the-ball movement, and it feels like Steph Curry was given a couple of those calls in Game 3. So this is all part of the posturing in an NBA series.
Let's hear from some people on this. Daniel in the city wants to weigh in. Hi, Daniel. Thanks for the call.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me. Yeah, I mean, I'll say this. This thing with Dylan Brooks, nothing about it is new. I feel like this guy's been in my life for, 10, 12 years. I'm an Oregon alum, and, he was the most love-hate relationship. He had an amazing year, took the Ducks to the Final Four, but at the same time, he was hitting guys in the balls and almost always suspended. The rumor around campus was that he was bipolar. So for me, it's like, where does it end with this guy? Right. I mean, clearly he's not going to change. I will say he is a pretty good player, so people keep trying to pay him. So I don't know if one day he's going to knock someone out and get suspended or get knocked out himself. But, man, this guy, he's consistent. I'll leave it at that.
Daniel, you're making another Oregon alum, Mark Grandy, you're making him make weird facial expressions. What's your response to this, Grandy?
Daniel, did you say the word around campus was that Dylan was bipolar?
Yes, that was the word around campus.
Uh-huh.
And I think there was a lot of truth to it, yeah. So,
what year did you graduate, Dylan? Daniel.
I graduated in 2012. But my buddy actually was a coach on the team, so that was I had some good inside knowledge there. So yes, I think we all could see that he might be bipolar. And last thing I'll add, I actually one time during a volleyball game was suspended for talking a little smack to Dibs. Had to sit out a game. My coach was a man of great character and wouldn't let me play the next game because he said Dibs was such a legend.
Wow!
What school was that?
Marin Catholic,
the alma mater. Yeah, things got a little heated.
Things got a little heated.
Daniel, I talk trash to Dibs every day, and it works out fine. It's okay.
While we're learning things about Daniel, what high school did you go to, Daniel?
I went to Marin Catholic myself.
You just said that.
What's your phone number and address?
No, I can't tell you that.
No, I just like, what are we, how long are
I thought he was playing against Dibs, and Dibs was coaching MC. I see.
I coached at Drake, knee Archie Williams, and Marin Catholic was the gold standard until I launched the dynasty. Thank you, Daniel.
Thank you, Daniel. Appreciate it.
Now I'm trying to circle back if I know any Daniels, because he graduated Oregon in 2012. I graduated MC from 2009. That means he probably graduated from MC in 2008.
Could go home and get your yearbook if you want. Can we, get back to Warrior basketball?
Finally, a reasonable duck take.
Dylan Brooks
though.
Is bipolar. Go ahead and tweet that.
The worst thing Dylan Brooks ever did as a duck was he had the most egregious flop versus Utah. He never did anything that he's done in the NBA at Oregon.
Well, apparently he did, and you just weren't in. Mm-hmm. You didn't have a friend on the coaching staff.
The other worst thing he did
was bipolar.
He took and made a very deep three at the end of a Sweet 16 game against Duke,
yes,
and Coach K scolded him.
Coach K got livid with him.
And that was all on Coach K.
That's an opinion. I actually agree with you on that one. I was bothered by Coach K on that one. I remember that.
Yeah.
I remember that because Coach K, during the handshake line, he got in his face. And then he talked about it in the press conference. He's like, I told Dylan, you're better than that.
Right.
You don't do stuff like that. You're better than that. I've always kind of across the board had this thing about the whole rubbing people's nose in it by scoring. I'm like, if you want the game to be over, then step out of midcourt and end the game. But other than that, people are allowed to play basketball. This, to me, is a completely different subject. I know people say stuff like that is like, oh, it's outside the lines, or it's not classy. This goes way, way far beyond not classy. Attempting to hurt Steph Curry. I don't know, man.
Yeah.
I know it's pro sports. I'm agreeing with you. I know it happens.
Yeah.
It shouldn't. You certainly shouldn't admit it out loud. And
he's allowed to.
And they're allowed to call it and call flagrant fouls on
them. They certainly are.
And they should.
You know, I'd almost, in a way, applaud him for going out there and saying what everyone else is saying. Like, yeah, he's hurt, and I'm going after the thumb. And if I had a bad ankle, I would expect the same thing from the other team. At least he's not hiding behind it. Like, no, I'm not trying to do that. He's basically saying, yeah, he's hurt, and that's what we're doing.
I'm laughing because one of our YouTube commenters, Jan Chosella, I think, just wrote, it's not his fault. He's bipolar. So...
Really uncomfortable with people assigning an illness to another person, a mental illness.
Yeah, me too.
This is, yeah.
But.
That's not, no but.
Well, no but.
You don't, you can't just, you can say it, but I think that's a cheap shot. You're going to say to somebody that they're bipolar, that is, for me, it's reckless.
Okay, I'd like to challenge you in these last 20 minutes. It's kind of odd that you don't think it's reckless to go after Steph Curry's thumb.
Oh, it is. It is, but it's sports.
But it's not okay for somebody who actually...
No, you can do it, but you don't know the first thing about Dylan Brooks.
And you don't know the first thing about Steph's thumb injury.
And I know that it looks pretty bad,
yeah,
and he's had a wrap on it for a couple weeks.
I mean... I didn't say that I did know anything about Dylan Brooks's mental state. I have no idea. I know that I disagree with the way he plays basketball and have for years, and just about 98% of this fan base does.
Yeah.
Because this ain't our first rodeo with him.
It doesn't mean that you can assign bipolar to the guy.
No, and I didn't. One of our listeners just did. He's got history. I have no idea what it is.
Right.
But I can tell you this. I also get very bothered whenever somebody goes, oh, there's a Warrior fan getting upset about Dylan Brooks when Draymond Green's on the team. First of all, two things about that. Draymond Green does get criticized by Warrior fans and media for some of the decisions he's made. But you and I have had this conversation. Draymond has never, ever, in our eyes, done this. It is completely different. It is completely different to be over the line with your aggression versus intentional injury.
Okay. I mean,
Totally different.
There are things that he's done that I would characterize as intention to injure.
I don't.
When you kicking Steven Adams in the groin twice, are you not trying to hurt a guy by kicking him in the balls?
You're going to compare that to going after a wrapped thumb or hitting Gary Payton 6 feet in the air?
That was one of the cheapest things I've ever seen.
Completely different.
I'm not. All I'm saying is that
that's what I'm comparing.
I would not exonerate Draymond Green and say that he's never tried to intentionally injure another player, because I believe he has.
I don't exonerate him for doing that. It was out of line, but it wasn't to the level of what Dylan does. Not even close.
Okay.
Not even close.
I would disagree with that.
That's fine.
When you pick up Michael Beasley with 2 seconds to go in a game and you body slam him at half court, that to me is, you're intending to hurt him.
I don't see it that way at all.
I don't know why else you would pick a guy up and throw him to the ground.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM, in HD1 San Francisco, and Odyssey Sports Station, always live on the free Odyssey app, and now come to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios.